meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon on this snowy Chicago Monday. It's the day before St. Patrick's Day, St. Joseph's Day, and I hope everyone had a wonderful time yesterday in the St. Patrick's Day season as we celebrated everything Irish. And we're really getting pretty advanced as we're watching as WTTW Channel 11 made the Dublin Parade available to us. And so it was, I hope everybody enjoyed their corned beef and cabbage and carrots and potatoes, and you're getting ready for your St. Joseph's sweet table. This is Loretta Freilich. As you know, I am the co-host of Winds of Change on Monday with Mary Fiorito, and Mary will be joining us later in the program. We are talking life today, and I have to tell you before we bring on our guest, God has been so good to me. And in my lifetime, for about 20 years, I have been the pro-life chairman at my parish. And it has been an uphill slog-out battle. I mean, that follow the life issue, you know we're in a war. It is a spiritual war between principalities and darkness. And so I want you to know, this past month, I received a letter in the mail from a member of our parish and a young college student, and his name is Patrick Hicks. And he sent this letter with a picture of him, as if I could forget him. But Patrick is working with We Dignify, and he is going to march on Springfield. And as we all know, when Dobbs kicked it back to the states, they said, you choose. So therein lies our battlefield. And I want you to know, I was so encouraged to see this handsome young man make the argument for why he is involved in the pro-life movement. And hopefully we're going to have Patrick on the program, and he can tell you, and it's so encouraging, especially, you know, just as somebody who, you know, picketed as a kid with Joe Scheidler, it is so encouraging to see such a fine young man involved in the movement and actively going to march on Springfield. So if anybody's out there and wants to contribute to We Dignify, you go ahead and Google them at wedignify.org, UIUC, and help these young college students live their faith and support the unborn and their parents. And then, before I get any more verklempt about these young people, I was at Mass yesterday. And in front of me, seated with his family, is a young man. And I learned later his name is Joe Murphy. Joe Murphy had a T-shirt on that said, like, Friars for Life. Now, my father's graduate of Fenwick. It has a very strong legacy in our community. Everybody loves Fenwick. And so I waited until after Mass, and I asked him, I said, Are you saying friars forever, like I'm always going to be a friar? Which I can understand. That's a real good thing to be. The connection to your high school and an alma mater as fine as Fenwick. I said, or are you talking friars that are pro-life for life? And he said, oh, no, pro-life. Well, I want you to know that I was so moved. I almost started to cry. And so if there are pro-life leaders out there that are slogging it out in the parish, I am giving you two examples of your work. You are making a difference. You are making a change. You are bringing this issue to the forefront, even in your small way as a pro-life parish worker. But I really want to give a shout out to Fenwick for encouraging a pro-life team and committee or club or whatever they call it. But I really want to give Joe Murphy a shout out that he has the courage to wear that T-shirt and he has the courage to work for life. So we all know that when we were first involved in the issue, it was life and the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And then now with the Dobbs kicking it back to the states, now with the advancement of science and just pure evil, we have to be on guard for so much more. And so we want to thank God that we have an amazing lobbyist in Springfield, Ralph Rivera, who's with us today to sort out what that dastardly Illinois legislature is doing. Hi, Ralph, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Loretta.
God bless you. Ralph, I just am so amazed at who you are and what you've done for life. And it's really, you are amazing. And I want to thank you for all the good work that you do.
Well, thank you. I'm down at the Capitol with Molly Rumley. She's a young woman and in her 20s, and this is her sixth year. So together we're there to kind of give truth to the legislators.
Praise
and so it's a tough hole for us because the numbers of pro-life legislators has changed.
Wow.
And so we're in this super minority,
mm-hmm.
and therefore we have a number of pro-life bills that are introduced every year, but they don't get a hearing.
Right.
So it's not like you say, oh, should we introduce this? We do a lot, but and legislators, they know that they won't have a hearing, but these pro-life legislators want to introduce these good bills as well. And this year, there are 11 bad abortion bills that have been introduced and one assisted suicide bill. First time that we've had this kind of assisted suicide bill. And so that's the battle that we're facing this year. The abortion bills are all over the place on what they want and what they want to do. So it's never about safe, rare, and legal. It's legal and even beyond legal. Yeah.
Well, before we discuss those individual bills and some of the people that we, the things that we need to do, can you tell us how long you have been a legislator lobbyist?
Oh, decades, let me say that.
Well, I don't know, Ralph, if you remember. Do you remember Joan Solms?
Yes, very well.
Yes, and my mother, Loretta Freilich Sr., she and Joan used to run the Rose Resale Shop to put money toward this amazing lobbyist by the name of Ralph Rivera, and it was like 30 years ago. So those are two women that were battling life at the beginning, and they truly are two of my heroes. But what does a lobbyist do?
Well, lobbyists representing for me and Molly, we represent the right to life, and we specifically are sent by Illinois Right to Life Action.
Okay.
And so we go down to talk with, first we have to review bills. There are like 5,000-6,000 bills that are introduced every year. There are hundreds of amendments that are also filed. We have to look at those to find out what are the abortion bills or what are the pro-life bills or what might affect our issue. And so we keep track of those. We're keeping track of about 800 bills now. And
some of them are.
Well, we have there's a system in the Illinois General Assembly website, and I can put those bills in, and it'll track them for me. It'll tell me when there's an amendment added. It'll tell me when there's a committee and when that committee is, and so forth. So we work with those, and then we track a number of bills. We're not sure when a bill is going to be bad. Maybe it's just a public health bill, but it's not doing anything bad, but that could be amended. So we want to watch that and see if that bill turns bad. And there have been a number like that where it was just an innocuous bill. Mm-hmm. They amended it to a bad bill.
Wow.
So those are the things we talk with the legislators in committees or just the legislators about why this is a bad bill and so forth. We prepare information sheets for them and so forth. So it's walking around, getting to know the legislators, importantly that they get to know us. And so it's that whole relationship situation down there, and that's why we're there every day that they're in session.
Wow. And it must be difficult to be down there all that time away from your family.
It is. You know, they're there maybe 3 days a week. This week they'll be in. They're normally Tuesday through Thursday, but tomorrow's election day, so they will come in Wednesday through Friday. So we'll be there, and it's just kind of what we do. You know, we know we're going to be away from family.
Yeah, well, that makes your wife and your children equally as the pro-life warrior as you are, Ralph.
Well, my children are grown now, but in the early days, that's correct. I mean, they were little, and my wife was the hero taking care of. We had six boys, and she had to take care of them while I was away. So, yeah, my hat's off to my wife all the time.
Well, shout out to Cindy and give her our thanks. Now, you are currently down there, and you said you have 11 bad abortion bills and one assisted suicide. Tell us, what do you think is the worst abortion bill that's pending?
I think there's a bill that House Bill 4876, it amends the Abused and Neglected Child Reporting Act. And what it says is that they're going to add to what is an abused child, a child, a parent who denies the child access to abortion services, and it even goes into or gender-affirming services. So if a parent says to a minor, no, you can't get an abortion, that would be considered an abused child situation. If this law were to pass, that means the Department of Children and Family Services could take that child away from the parents because they'll say, this is an abused child. And when you're doing that, you're dealing with the abortion issue, and you're saying, we're going to tell parents you'd better agree with them on abortion or we'll take your child away.
Wow. And are there any steps in that bill that indicate any kind of due process for a child's removal? And if the parents can have that child returned to the home, or is it just pure acquiescence? You give her the abortion and we'll let you have her.
Well, I think from what the department, what the Abuse and Neglected Child Reporting Act is, it's not a due process. I mean, even now, for whatever the things are, even in a real situation of abused child, it's not a due process. It's not kind of your right as parents, because we're not putting the parents in jail in this law. You're taking away the child,
right?
And so It's difficult the way it is, and it may be a real situation or it may be unfounded. But in this case, it's no different.
Wow. Unbelievable. I mean, really, what arrogance. What arrogance. Wow. Now, what would you say if someone wanted to make a comment about this bill or any of the other bills that you've talked about?
Okay.
That you're going to talk about?
Sure. So there are 11 bills, and they're in various stages. We're in the committee process right now. Only two of these 11 bills have gotten out of committee, and they're on the floor of the House. You know, one bill's in the House, one bill's in the Senate. The others are in stages of their committees with these bills being heard this week, and they may get out of committee or they may not. There are some other bills that are still in a rules committee or assignment committee. They haven't been sent to a regular committee for a hearing.
Okay.
So, and we're happy with that. The more these bills don't move, the better.
Yes.
And so they're in various stages. And if this bill, for example, House Bill 4876, were to come up, then we would send an email out telling people, do a witness slip. It's an electronic witness slip.
And what's a witness slip? What is a witness slip?
Well, a witness slip is, for me, for example, in the old days, we had an actual piece of paper that was a witness slip, and I would turn it in to say, I want to speak on this, or I want to just have a record of appearance saying, I'm opposed to this. Well, now they made it, about 10 years ago, they made it easily available for people all over the state to say, I'm opposed to this or I'm for this, by filling out an electronic witness slip on the online with the Illinois General Assembly website.
And where
so
do you
people
find that?
Can do that.
Where do you find that?
Well, it's a complicated thing. So you could find it online if you went to the ILGA.gov website. On the first column below, down, there's in red letters, GA dashboard. And you click that, and then you go through the process. But it's somewhat difficult. I would recommend this.
Yes.
That, especially for first-timers, the easiest way would be to go to IllinoisRightToLife.org, so our organization's website. Go to them, and a sign will come up and say, hey, would you like to get emails? Sign up for that.
Okay.
And now when we feel like we want to get a lot of people to do witness slips, we'll send you an email and make it very simple. We'll tell you about the bill, and there will be a link. You hit that link, and it'll bring you right to the witness slip for that bill. In this case, the example would be House Bill 4876, and maybe it's in Public Health Committee, and it'll be all that. You fill that out, you click the button, and your witness slip goes to the committee. So that's the easiest way. And so I would encourage people, if you say, I don't know how to do this or it's complicated, just go to IllinoisRightToLife.org, sign up for emails, and then we will let you know when we want you to sign a witness slip for a particular bill.
Well, Ralph, we're going to go into our first break, and when we come back, we want to hear more about these bad bills, and we're thanking you so much for this civics lesson. I'm Loretta Freilich talking to Ralph Rivera. This is Winds of Change.
For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Koska Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Koska Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Koska Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's one block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy. You are listening to
Mary Fiorito
and
Loretta Freilich
on Winds of Change. You can help save a life by praying for an end to abortion in your community. Find a 40 Days for Life vigil nearby. Visit 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com, to help save a life.
Thanks for listening, and you are going to get an excellent civics lesson today on the bills that are not in support of life. Ralph, you mentioned the first bill that you said was really bad. And
right.
On your list, what would be the next bill that we should be paying attention to?
Well, there's a House Bill 4867. So this is in the House. It's in a House committee. And it says it amends the Illinois Human Rights Act. And it makes it a violation of the act if an employer and other entities, but basically an employer, would quote-unquote discriminate against a person making a reproductive health decision. So this deals with abortion, of course, and other mm-hmm. things. And there is a question. Now, in the Human Rights Act, employers that are places of worship or religious institutions are exempt. So this doesn't apply to those employers. But there's a question of whether employers like my organization, Illinois Right to Life, okay. if we have an employee who was not doing, following our beliefs, and say we couldn't say we're going to have to let you go. Are we protected under this? We don't know. And so there's concerns for employers in any way, shape, or form that in some way, maybe they're always pushing the pro-life issue. Is that going to, be considered a violation? So that's another bill. They're normalizing abortion
wow.
in the workplace. And let me say before, because I know the time will go,
yes.
Why do we have 11 bills like this, and why is it trouble? Because there's a super majority of legislators that are pro-abortion, and that's because we have not, in Illinois, gotten pro-life legislators elected. And tomorrow's election day, and it's important that everyone go out to vote. We have a voter's guide that you can get by going online to Illinois Right to Life Action. Just type that in, Illinois Right to Life Action, and it'll take you to our site for you to get a voter guide on who's pro-life and who's not, that you can take into the booth tomorrow
okay.
if you're voting. So that's what we have to do as pro-lifers in Illinois. Unless we can change the numbers and the General Assembly and the Illinois Senate and the Illinois continue to see these types of bills. And so I would encourage that.
So if you want to get a voter's guide, we want to go to Illinois Right to Life Action.
Right.
And that's where you'll the screen will pop up with a voter's guide, and you can just download it and print it out and take it into the voter's booth, right?
That's correct, and that's how we win because,
amen.
Years ago, we had enough votes in the General Assembly when I was there early on, in which we had more than 3/5 of the votes, not just a simple majority, and we had to override a governor's veto. We needed those 3/5, but those days have changed because we have not elected or kept pro-life legislators in the General Assembly, and we just have to go out and do that.
Now, as an expert in voters kind of putting some pressure on their elected officials, do you find calling your legislator to be beneficial when a pro-death bill is coming up?
Yes. Whether you make the call or go to their district office or even come down to Springfield, we're having a March for Life on April 17th at the state capitol, and thousands will be there. So you could come down, join the march, and then go see your legislator. Or you could email the legislator. As long as you identify that you're in that district, the legislators listen to those, to these emails and contacts. You say, well, yeah, but mine is real pro-abortion. That doesn't matter. In fact, it's important that you let them know that their district is pro-life, or there are a lot of pro-lifers there. If they never hear from us, they say, well, my district must be pro-choice.
Yeah. Well, you know, my mother was a huge pro-life warrior, and she used to, when Chris Emanuel Welch got elected, and especially the speaker, she used to say, you know, his middle name means God with us. He needs to change that name. So, because he can't be voting the way he's voting and just being an agent of death and still keep that name. So we need to keep the fire on our elected officials. We need to be supporting Illinois Right to Life action so that we can be better citizens. We need to be informed people because, you know, it's not just overturn Roe anymore. It is now, I mean, with so much technology involved, with the different ways they're approaching the death issue, we've got to be on alert. Can we talk about the assisted suicide bill?
Yes.
Which bill is that?
This one is Senate Bill 3499, so it's in the Senate, and it hasn't had a hearing yet. It's in a subcommittee. We don't know whether this year it'll have a hearing or not, but we're preparing as if it will. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first step. When it has a hearing, if it gets out, it goes to the floor of the Senate for all the senators to vote on it. And this bill is, it's an interesting bill. It won't even say that it is assisted suicide. They call it aid in dying. They say this has nothing to do with assisted suicide, and yet it is. And they're telling doctors or hospitals, you're not to say that this is assisted suicide. You can get in trouble if you say that. And so that's a constitutional issue. You can't force speech on doctors or hospitals. You know, you have Catholic hospitals. There's a number of unconstitutional parts to this bill that would force things on the pro-life doctors and the Catholic hospitals that are in Illinois. And there's a nebulous thing about what they call terminal disease. Uh-huh. It could apply to diseases like type 1 diabetes or something.
Whoa.
Obviously, if you don't have insulin, then you could be terminal.
Yeah,
but fortunately,
right,
we do have insulin, and people can go for many years with it. But if you didn't have insulin, that could be a terminal disease. And so they could get someone to say, well, I have diabetes and I don't want to live. Or there are situations in other states where a person with anorexia nervosa, mm-hmm, has said, I have this and it's, it's killing me or something, and I don't want to live, so I want to be helped with suicide.
Well, you know, Ralph, this past year my mother died, and we were in the hospital, and I won't say which one, but what stunned me was how many doctors and nurses even came up to me and wanted me to sign a do not resuscitate or a DNR.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait, no, she's not terminal in my estimation. She had some challenges she needed to get over. But my mother and I had talked about this, you know, many times on the beaches. We're just sort of sitting there. And so I knew what her wishes were to be made, you know, in faith and with her doctors that she really, really found to be so excellent and had given her such great care. So this wasn't going to be just something we did. And yet I was stunned over and over. Every time she was in the hospital the last month for multiple visits. But every time we came through the emergency room, every time we went upstairs and were admitted, somebody came, I mean, it must have been at least six times, advising me to sign a do not resuscitate. I was like, I was stunned, but, you know, they're getting us from all angles, and we must be vigilant.
Right. Oh, that's true. And that's the other, right, this is the other end of the battle on pro-life. And they talk about, well, if you're terminal within six months. Well, we found out, and that there have been studies showing that doctors don't get that right all the time. And I know of various examples where someone had, they were given 6 months to live, and they lived 6 years.
Wow.
And they had time to be with their children and their grandchildren because people were taking care of them.
Yes.
And so you just can't always get that right. So that's a part of that bill that is concerning. And we also are working with a number of disability rights people. They're very worried about this because they know that there are people, and there are studies that show that doctors look at people with disabilities different than they look at you and me.
Mm-hmm.
And that shouldn't be the case. So the disability rights people are front and center with us as we worked against this bill.
Well, that is absolutely amazing that you have chosen to work with the vulnerable in addition to the unborn, which they're equally as vulnerable these days. What bills would you say, are there any good ones out there?
There are a number of good bills. I don't have the numbers because, and I'm so
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You are working, and so I can appreciate that you wouldn't have those numbers with you. But can you tell us the names of someone, and why are you so pleased?
Well, because our legislators, the pro-life legislators, a number of them introduced bills, even though this General Assembly on the pro-abortion majority will keep our pro-life bills from even having a hearing in committee, and they still want to introduce an ultrasound bill requiring that you give the woman the opportunity to see that ultrasound. At abortion clinics, they won't do that. And we have they have things like the heartbeat bill or the 20-week ban or just numerous bills like that. And so we do have a lot of bills that are introduced, so it's not like we don't do that. I'd say we have over 20 bills introduced this year.
Wow. Well, we're going to go into a next break. Can you stay with us over this break and give us the, you know, the roadmap that we need to follow in order to stay connected with Illinois Right to Life Action?
Sure. I'd be happy to.
Terrific. This is Loretta Frelick. We're talking life and how to be a better pro-life warrior in the Illinois legislature.
For 150 years, St. Stanislaus Koska Academy has been an oasis that builds a moral foundation for your child based upon Catholic faith, virtue, and valor, along with strong academic preparation for children pre-kindergarten through eighth grade. Here's how you can help St. Stanislaus Koska Academy and have a good time. Come out and play for St. Stan's Academy during the annual Casino Night Fundraiser, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Enjoy casino games, food, drinks, and great music, all while helping to support St. Stanislaus Koska Academy, Saturday, April 25th at 6 p.m. Now, you must be 21 or over. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is located at 1255 North Noble in Chicago. That's one block north on Noble, off Division, just off the Kennedy.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Thanks for listening to us. We're talking with Ralph Rivera, the Illinois Right to Life Action, one of the two lobbyists. And Ralph has been at this for, wow, 30 years, Ralph?
Well, more than that, but...
Wow. Well, tell me what gives you hope. This is a difficult decision to commit your life to the life issue. And, you know, certainly, you know, the Dobbs decision gave everybody, you know, a boost, but we're not over.
No, that's true. Well, when I started, we had... as I had mentioned before, on over 3/5 the vote in each chamber. And so we were passing legislation, things like a ban on taxpayer funding or parental notice or partial birth abortion and so many others, and regulations on abortion. But as time went on, it became harder because the numbers changed.
Sure.
And so where we are today is, since we have lost elections, and I want to stop here just before I go on.
Sure.
6 years ago, just an example, one of our best legislators had a tough battle, and he was just a great kind of person to walk the precincts and so forth. Well, there were 43,000 votes cast, and he won by 43 votes.
Wow.
So when people think, does my vote matter? Well, you know, one vote, but one and another and a family member and friends, you know, it can make the difference. And I've seen an election where 6 votes made the difference. It was that close. So you never know. And you just have to get out and vote. And your vote can matter.
Yes, it can. And, you know, what's so important about Illinois Right to Life Action is not only does your vote matter, but your kitchen table, cocktail party conversation matters.
That's
and
right.
You don't have to get angry about the issue, but you can state the facts. I'm going to bet you that the House Bill 4876 that you talked about, I'm going to bet you there's not a voter out there that knows it will allow the state to take your child. And yet, if you just state the facts to your friends, to your neighbors, you're not trying to convince them to be pro-life. You're showing them what the facts are and how they need to be armed with those facts so that their arguments can be convincing without being loud.
That's correct. Most voters don't know how their legislators voted. And they don't know that they voted to take away parental notice, or that they voted to require the state pay for abortions. We had a ban on it. Now it pays for it for any reason.
Up to the last moment. So your baby, you can get an abortion on your baby the minute before you're about to deliver. Don't lose sight of that. And I'm paying for it. And that makes me mad. So we need to be out there, as we discussed, armed with the facts. Tell me what gives you hope, Ralph.
Well, there's, you know, it's our task to present truth. In my role, I'm there telling the truth on the life issues, both on abortion and the end of life, and that's important to do. We've seen things change in the last 6 years, and for decades before, we had good bills, and we were competitive in this battle, but now it's tougher. Well, that can go back in 6 years if we all do what we're supposed to do and get involved and change those numbers in the Illinois House and the Illinois Senate. And it can be done, so you just have to keep working at it.
Well, we are so grateful for all of your work. We are so grateful for your lovely presentation and, you know, just kind of the calmness that you have when you talk about life. And, you know, if that's not persuasive, I don't know what is. But, you know, the facts, you know, listeners, we have to get the facts. And Illinois Right to Life Action is your location and starting off point. So you need to get on that website, get on their email list, find out what the bills are and what they're doing in Springfield, and also do things like get the facts of those bills. So when you're talking to your sister-in-law who's pro-abort, you're able to explain the truth. And it is wonderful, the analysis that everyone is able to just take away from this website. And you can also find out who your state representative is. You can find out who your state senator is for those important letters and phone calls. Come on, we all have a computer. You can type up a letter. He's not going to say this person did not write a good letter and is grammatically correct and put it through spell check. He's going to say what they're going to click you off and say, what does the person believe about life? And I've heard, I don't know if it's true, but one of the statistics that I've come away with in life is that for every letter they receive in Washington, they count. And we're talking about Illinois, but the analysis goes to a Washington lobbyist. Every letter they receive, they believe there's 40 more out there that believe the same, that didn't take the time to write.
I've heard that. I've heard it more. There's 100 that think just like that person who wrote the letter but just didn't write.
God bless. Oh, that's,
you know,
wonderful.
And legislators, I've had them at events, and we'd ask the question, what's important to you? And they would say that very thing you brought up, that they know when they get one letter, one call, one contact, that there are many others out there that vote, but they just haven't written. Yeah.
And that's important. And you know, if you want to support the phenomenal work that Ralph and Molly are doing down in Springfield, there's also a way you can support their lobbying work on their website. And I, you know, we can either go down to Springfield every day, or we can support the people that are doing what we would love to do if we didn't have kids to get to school or, you know, jobs to go to. You can support their work with your financial donation, and it is just the same as if you went there and voiced your opinion.
That's right. Those are your voices are proxy votes for us as we visit those legislators, and we know they got 10 contacts or 100 contacts. That's very helpful to us. I also want to mention, I'm talking about the 11 abortion bill,
yes,
and the suicide bill.
Yes.
We just sent this out to all of our people by email, so they have this. And if you'd like to get just what I'm talking to and much more, you can call 312-422-9300, and that's our office, and say, hey, I heard about this this sheet with all these bills. Could you send me one? And they'd be happy to do that.
Okay, let's get that number again, Ralph.
Okay, it's 312-422-9300. And call the office, and if no one answers, leave a message.
Okay.
Say, this is my email or address, and say, I'd like to get that sheet on the bad abortion bills and the suicide bill. And they'll get it out to you.
Well, Ralph, we are so grateful that you took the time to be with us. We took you away from some very important work, but we hope people take some action from some of your excellent recommendations. I'm going to give you the last word, Ralph. What would you like to tell our listeners?
I just never give up. We just have to keep working on this and trust in the Lord and Just keep working.
Yes.
Think about Roe v. Wade falling. For people who go way back, how many people thought we're going to see this in our lifetime?
Right.
And we did because, people didn't give up.
Right. Well, and that leaves us with a last suggestion. Please pray for Ralph. Pray for Molly. Pray for those good pro-life legislators, and, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. So thank you, Ralph, for being on the program today. And when we come back, we're going to have Mary, and she's going to talk about the White House St. Patrick's Day party. So this is Loretta Freilich. We've had the most gracious of guests, Ralph Rivera, and we've learned a lot today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can help save a life by praying for an end to abortion in your community. Find a 40 Days for Life vigil nearby. Visit 40daysforlife.com, 40daysforlife.com, to help save a life. You are listening to
Mary Fiorito
and
Loretta Freilich
on Winds of Change. Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, live, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button. For Winds of Change podcasts, click on Listen to Episodes or visit the Winds of Change Facebook page.
Welcome back. Mary, are you there?
Here. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. I'm dying to hear about the St. Patrick's Day party at the White House.
Oh, yeah, I don't know that you're dying. You're going to be dying to hear about it after I tell you. I suppose we should have seen something like this coming. I don't know how long it was in the works, but President Biden hosted, it looks to be kind of a brunch at the White House yesterday. And there was orange juice on everyone's place at the table, so I assume it was a brunch. And it was for Catholic leaders, hosted by President Biden. And my instinct on this is that after that disaster that was the State of the Union address, where he threatened the sitting Supreme Court justices who were in front of him because of the Dobbs versus Jackson decision, and he talked about, abortion as if it was some kind of, sacrosanct right that everybody agreed with, and then had as his wife's guest, Kate Cox, who aborted her disabled child. And
you mean the same lady that sat with Jill in
Correct.
The, yes. Well, okay, enough. After the debacle at the State of the Union.
Yeah, and not only with Jill, but she sat between Jill Biden, the First Lady, and Maria Shriver. And what is very upsetting about that particular arrangement, and I'm sure it was done intentionally, is Maria Shriver is a Catholic,
mm-hmm.
and her mother, Eunice Shriver, and her father, Sergeant Shriver, were both ardently pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, her mother, on several occasions, hosted pro-life receptions for organizations like Feminists for Life and Democrats for Life.
Mm-hmm.
And they also founded the Special Olympics.
Right.
So you have the irony of a woman who aborted her child because her child had a profound disability. And she's sitting with Maria Shriver, whose family was an integral part of founding Special Olympics, cheering her on for aborting her disabled child. I mean, I don't quite know, you know, what the calculation was about why that was a good thing. But we'll put that aside for a second. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, they just had Anthony Shriver here in Chicago, and he showed up for Best Buddies. He is the founder of Best Buddies,
right,
which is a high school, well, adults too, but it's really popular in the high schools having students walk with mentally or physically disabled students and, you know, integrate them into the world. And what I found so bizarre, he also mentioned that the reason he founded Best Buddies was because he would spend time with his Aunt Rosemary, who was Eunice Shriver's sister, who was mentally challenged and lived with some sisters in Wisconsin and would go out to the family. So this is a family that's living a life that Maria has kind of thrown up in her in their face with the way she is now embracing the life issue.
Yeah, that was very, very distressing. And of course, you know, she was married to an actor turned politician. So, you know, you move in that sort of left-wing Hollywood world, and that's going to affect the way that you, you know, respond to issues. I remember, you know, a friend of mine who knew Eunice Shriver quite well through pro-life work asking how that was like interacting with members of her own family who were not pro-life. Like, she said, you know, like, what's Thanksgiving dinner like? And she said, oh, we intentionally do not talk about those issues because it would get so heated and so contentious. But so at any rate, so President Biden, I believe, because there were calls for his excommunication after the State of the Union address. Now, you know, given how clear canon law is on that particular topic, I don't believe he qualifies for that. But boy, he certainly is causing scandal to people who might be weak in faith by his rabid, and I don't think you could use any other adjective, his rabid pro-abortion viewpoints and advocacy. I mean, there is no abortion this man would not legally permit and have taxpayers pay for. I mean, that is no exaggeration. That is no thing of a lie. And so he hosted this breakfast or brunch or whatever it was on St. Patrick's Day for Catholic leaders, and it was kind of a who's who of the Catholic left and of people who are known for being advocates of legal abortion. You know, there was the man who sadly and scandalously holds the Cardinal Bernardine Chair at Catholic Theological Union here in Chicago, who wrote an article called A Catholic Case for Roe versus Wade Against Dobbs. That's literally the name of an article.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, and he was there, and he holds the Bernardine Chair. And, of course, you know, I knew and worked for Cardinal Bernardine. What a diminishment of Cardinal Bernardine's good name to have this man associated with it, who's such a strong advocate for abortion remaining legal. And bizarrely enough, an advocate for Roe, which even, as you know, Loretta, you know, as a fellow lawyer, even the most, you know, liberal of constitutional scholars said Roe was bad law from the start.
Nobody
who was a real scholar of the Constitution understood Roe to be a well-decided case, you know. And in fact, Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself,
yes,
criticized it because she was afraid, because it was so poorly, you know, reasoned and poorly grounded in the Constitution. It wasn't grounded in the Constitution at all. She knew. I mean, she said basically it's ripe to be overturned because it's such a bad case,
right?
And you know, we should shore it up with something, you know, more strong. They tried to do that in Casey, but Casey itself, because it was based on Roe, was bad law. So at any rate, so Father James Martin, who is a, you know, well-known advocate for same-sex couples and has done same-sex couple blessings now and for trans Catholics, and so he was there. And so, just again, you can probably go. I don't want to give the people who went any glory, but
no,
it was
good.
Clear they were there because they reject Catholic Church teaching, not because they are faithful Catholics. And President Trump, I think, has been wisely, on the campaign trail, pointing out to Catholics, this is an administration that is persecuting you. You look at the FBI infiltrating Latin masses.
Oh, my gosh.
We know that FBI agents have been going to these masses to try to, find out if there's anything nefarious going on at these masses. That they went to the house of Mark Houck, who was a pro-life sidewalk counselor who has 7 or 8 children, and did a raid with I think 24 agents did a raid at 5 o'clock in the morning at his house and arrested him in front of his young children because he was a sidewalk counselor at an abortion clinic. So we know that Catholic, and we know, for example, that the organization Catholic Vote that I am affiliated with has been really good about tracking this. We know that there have been more than 300 cases now, documented cases of vandalism against Catholic churches since the Dobbs decision. And so the Biden administration has done absolutely nothing to investigate these cases or prosecute the people responsible. Damaging, and I mean, I'm talking about things like going into Catholic churches and smashing statues. And in one case, I believe they broke into the tabernacle and threw the Blessed Sacrament on the floor, and ripping up the liturgical books and attempting to set fire to our churches. And the devout, the so-called devout Catholic Joe Biden has not had his Justice Department investigate these attacks against the churches of his very own, self-professed, self-identified faith. It's really a scandal.
It is, Mary. It is. And
so now he has this glorious breakfast where he's feting all of these, Catholic left-wing activists who frankly, we're all going to vote for him anyway, and they're all advocating, they're all trying to sort of walk this tightrope to explain away his abortion advocacy and his lack of concern for the physical attacks against Catholic churches. As somebody, I posted it on my Twitter feed last night, and someone paraphrased the line from A Man for All Seasons, the story of Thomas More, when the man who betrayed him was given a position in Wales. And, the line from Thomas More is,
yes,
for Wales. And so someone said to me, for a lunch at the White House.
Okay.
And I said, yeah, apparently that's the thing.
So you know the music. Okay. Everybody get out and vote tomorrow. It's primary day in Illinois. And enjoy St. Joseph's Day. And we thank God for the gift of St. Joseph, the terror of demons. And we seek his intercession in the life issue. See you guys next Monday.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time.